All right. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm impressed that you are here. I'm glad that you are here. My name is Allison Michaels. It has been a very early morning for me yesterday and today. And so I feel like I'm going to be as energetic as possible. So I want to talk and give you a little bit of kind of history about Yammer and kind of a little bit more about that, because I've heard throughout these past couple days go, wait, Microsoft bought Yammer? Wait, Yammer's a part of Microsoft? So I want to kind of dispel some of that as well. But I also want to talk about what we're going to do during this session. I have no demos for you. I actually don't even have a screenshot of Yammer. I can show it to you if you want. But I'm not going to share code. I'm not going to show any of kind of the back end, front end, any of that type of stuff. It's actually, we're really going to be talking about some of the obstacles and some of the barriers that happen when you start to think about adding social into your enterprise workforce. So we're actually not even going to show you anything like that. So if you want to do that, or if you like to hack, or if you want to build apps and things like that, this is not the session. And then also yesterday, how many of you were in my power user session yesterday? Okay, a couple handful of you. Okay, cool. So yesterday we did a session all about how to use the tool, why to use the tool, kind of talked a little bit about use cases and things like that. I'm not going to cover that today. So if you want, that session was recorded, as well as I threw up the slide deck on that IT Pro Network as well, so you can have that. Feel free to go through that as well. My name's Allison Michaels. I accept friends and Twitter followers. That's my Twitter handle. Feel free to tweet and participate in the Yammer network. Would be happy to have a conversation with you. I've been a part of Yammer and Microsoft for about 3 years now. I was actually a Yammer customer before I joined the team, so I've actually been using Yammer for quite a while. I've watched it grow up and kind of grow in a variety of different ways. I remember when we first started using it at my organization. I worked in manufacturing. It kind of looked a lot like Twitter. Looked and felt a lot like Twitter. There's no concept of groups, and it has definitely evolved over time. So Microsoft purchased Yammer about 2 years ago this July for $1.2 billion. Yammer actually fits and sits under the Office division, and so kind of the sales and customer side of the house fall under the product marketing group, and then the rest of kind of the product and engineering fall under kind of Jeff Teeper's org, kind of under the engineering side under Office. So it's been a lot of fun to kind of work with the different Office teams. If you think about all of the different Office applications, whether it's Outlook, Link, SharePoint, all of these different tools, Yammer will and kind of is in some places already integrated with some of those as well. And that integration is just going to continue to get a little bit deeper and deeper. I'm not going to talk roadmap today either. I already had a question saying, hey, what's the roadmap look like? Not going to talk roadmap, but we do have a lot of exciting stuff coming. If you do want to know a little bit more about roadmap, success.yammer.com, we literally have a release schedule for you that tells you what's out there, what's coming, what's being tested right now. We also do A/B testing, so sometimes your network might look different than our network, that might look different than his network, because we're testing to see how and why and what your users are interacting with, versus kind of waiting for 3 or 4 months or a year to kind of push something out. We're always testing, and we're always revising our stuff. Also, Yammer is only in the cloud. There is no on-premise version. There will not be an on-premise version. I know sometimes customers will ask me that. No, there is not. And I would love to actually hear a little bit from you guys this morning as well. So all of the mics are live, so if anybody does want to have Yammer idle, I don't know. If you do want to go up to the mic and share, there will be plenty of opportunity to do that as well. And before we get started and kind of talk really about one of the first barriers, one of the things that I would love for you to do is turn to either the person next to you or around you and just introduce yourself and say or talk about maybe one barrier that either you already kind of anticipate, or that you have already experienced, or something that you know is going to be an issue for your organization. I'll give you 2 minutes. This is your time to be social. Go. I know, this is like hard. Like, what? I have to talk to someone? So turn around. I see some of you. gentlemen, lady, chat. And if you don't, I'm going to come and point you, and my mic's still alive, so everybody will know. Meet a friend. So social, I know, right? It's like social in real life. So why don't you have Yammer yet? What are kind of the barriers for you guys to even have Yammer yet? The cloud version is the enterprise version. There is no on-premise version. So it's the same thing. Cloud is the enterprise version. No. I love it. Talking in real life, you guys, this is great. Sometimes you go to a conference and you never meet anybody new, so. Hey, why don't you guys chat really quick? I see he's on Yammer. I'm okay with that. Good morning, how are ya? All right, for those of you just walking in, so glad that you could make it. We are just chatting about some of the barriers or obstacles that we know our organization is going to either face or has faced in the thinking about enterprise social. I love this. I like don't want you guys to stop talking. This is great. It's like Yammer in real life. All right. I know, right? All right, so what were some of the obstacles that you guys came up with, or what were some of the conversations that were kind of brought up? If you guys want to shout it, I'll repeat it. Yeah. Wasting time, absolutely. What about anybody else? Oh, they want to use a different product, they could want to use post-it notes or something else. Absolutely. What else? What other things came up in the conversations? Yes, ma'am.
Is it discoverable?
Can people search it? Can people find things? Is there so much stuff that I'm just going to get lost in the mix? Yeah. As well as, is there e-discovery? I'm sure that was your question, too. But yes, there is. Yes, you can export everything. Yes, yes. Data retention, yes.
Do you think you can put a retention schedule?
Yes. It's not an automatic retention schedule, it is manual. But yes, there is a retention schedule. And you can do hard delete, soft delete, whatever you need. What else? What other barriers did you guys talk about? What about anybody on this side? You're all like, we didn't talk.
Already use email.
Already have a phone. Already can yell across the hall. Already have what? Fail the implementation. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. If you search why Yammer failed, you'll see why I'm famous. You'll see. All right, so those are excellent barriers and some of the ones that we are exactly going to walk through today. And kind of how I've set this session up is I'll kind of give you a character or maybe yourself or somebody in your organization and an objection or kind of an obstacle that they might be facing. So, for example, I don't want to share. I'm a knowledge hoarder. Okay, I don't think anybody actually says this out loud, but maybe they do. And so when we think about your workforce and the concept of knowledge is power, and people being able to hold on to that knowledge and just to be able to have that knowledge because of their many, many years of experience, whether it's in the industry or whether it's in your organization. Do any of you have people in your organization that have worked there for, let's say, over 15 years? Or have you worked at a place for over 15 years? Yeah, absolutely. Wow, that was a lot more than I thought. And so a lot of times, these people have the best knowledge. And this is This may or may not be the knowledge of actually how to run a machine or work on a manufacturing. They also know how to get a PO pushed on a late Thursday afternoon when you need a cut for someone to pay on Friday for one of your vendors that has just completed a work. Or they also know where to go and get something and how to get it coordinated. It's kind of like those unwritten rules of your organization. Those types of things too, they also know, or maybe you also know, because of the amount of years you've spent at your organization. So people, and I will say us, myself included, we have a fear about sharing. We have a fear about sharing. If we share, does that mean that somebody else is going to take my stuff and claim it as their own? You know, am I going to get the credit for something if I've shared something? Or are people going to kind of take it for my own? So that's a little bit of kind of why people don't share, is because they said, well, if I start it, maybe somebody else is going to take it and claim it for themselves. So they kind of jeopardize their kind of own, you know, they don't want to be able to share that because they feel like, you know, somebody else might grab it and really wreak the glory and the fame for maybe something that they created. So I dare you to read this slide not in his voice, right? Like, oh my gosh, I cannot ever look at this slide without hearing him like boom over me, right? Like the most perfect narrator, I feel like, of all time. And so I think that when we think about this concept of working out loud or narrating your work, this is a very different mindset shift of thinking about being very open in what you're sharing and what you're working on. You're literally narrating your work. I usually do this presentation with a cohort of mine. I'm really sad he's not here. I wish he was. And he always talks about what you're working on isn't worth sharing, why are you working on it? Shouldn't you be proud about what you're up to and be able to share that? And sometimes, and he talks about sometimes what he would do and kind of as he would share, he didn't really think that anybody was listening or anybody was reading his stuff until he found somebody at the cafeteria. They tapped him on the shoulder and said, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I can't believe you're doing this. And I saw that you were doing this. And he goes, how did you even know about that? Because he never saw her on Yammer. He never saw her on Yammer. And she goes, oh, well, I follow you, and I see you posting all that, and that's really, really cool. I'm so excited to see what you're up to in some of these areas. So even the people who aren't active on your Yammer networks still find value and can find value if the conversations are about business value and about like what people are actually working on. How many of you lead a team or have direct reports or work on a team? Yeah? Okay, a couple of you. Great. So something that I do for my team to kind of help them work out loud is on Fridays, I ask them within our team group, what were your highs and lows for the week? Super simple. It's not over-engineered. I didn't read a book on it. Like, I just ask them. And it's so interesting. They don't have to respond. It's not a status report. It's not anything like that. It's just, what are they proud of? And man, what wasn't that fun this week? And for them, what's interesting to me, what happens, is their lows, somebody usually said, oh man, I dealt with that 2 weeks ago, and I was able to help and figure out and serve this customer in this way, and did you know about this conversation that just happened over here? Let me connect you with the person who was responsible for that account. And they were able to kind of connect, and their lows might not always be a low. And so for me as a manager, I can very easily see, one, what my people are up to, and two, where are their struggles, and how can I help remove some of those barriers as well? Also, I travel all the time, so I am always sharing back because I never sit in one home office, so I'm always sharing back. This is also a really good best practice for your leaders to kind of say, hey, I visited this customer. Here's what I learned. I was on the front lines, and this is what I saw. I met with this team, and here's what we talked about. Sometimes you might think, well, I don't want to hear about that. That's okay. The way that Yammer is structured, it's very much as a user-generated platform because the users get to pick what is served to them and what conversations they or you participate in. Versus other tools like a telephone or email or instant messaging, you don't really get to pick who emails you. They've already chosen that you're getting emailed. Or they've already, at, like I like to call it getting linked. Like, how many of you are like doing something and somebody's like, can you join this call? And you're like, what? And you're like in the middle of something and they totally interrupted you or something like that. So a lot of times you don't necessarily get to choose who's having those conversations with you. They're already chosen by that, by the sender, right? So Yammer is very different. It's kind of that push versus pull mentality of kind of being able to share and kind of push and share that information versus what you can pull and converse in as well. Something else that I love with this is one of my customers, Food Services of America. I was working with their CIO, who is just incredible, Guy Babbitt. He's based in Phoenix, Arizona. That's actually where I'm at as well. And he talked about when they were doing a merger or an acquisition of a company, he said that there was a conversation on Yammer that he thought the CEO was going to call him Monday and say, take that down. Take that down. So it was so, he was so nervous. He was like, Allison, I was waiting for the call. I knew that it was going to come out. Because it was one of the newly acquired employees kind of complaining, saying, you know what? Like, I've just gotten picked over, you know, for all these different new opportunities in this company. Like, what's going on? How can I, you know, how can I better, you know, what can I be doing to not get picked over for some of these opportunities? And he thought, oh no, the CEO is going to say, take that down because it's not, you know, positive or whatever the case may be. Well, what actually ended up happening is the community showed up and said, here, if you want this opportunity, you need to work with this teams and you need to up-level your skills in this area. And this is who you need to talk to. And here's how I would have done it. And here's where I was in your situation very, you know, not too long ago. And Guy said by the time Monday happened, he had over 15, 16 responses. And it was incredible because the guy actually got a new opportunity based on the conversation that had happened on Yammer. And now granted, yes, they could have pulled the conversation down or said, nope, don't want to have it. But what happened was is that the community kind of said as he was, you know, saying, how can I get better? And, you know, what can I do from a work perspective to kind of move my career forward? So it was really, really interesting as well. How many of you are like this? How many of you, this is what you say? wait, let me see that again. Okay, yeah, I figured. We just licensed O365, and Yammer just came with it. We also, I've been working with quite a few customers recently, and they're like, yeah, we're going to do Yammer, and then we're going to do Link, and then we're going to do Office 2013, and then we're going to do SharePoint Online, and I go, you're poor users. I said, oh my gosh, they're going to quit on you right there. I go, wow, that's a lot of change for your users who are still using Office 2007, Outlook 2003, like, oh, poor users. So something that this actually, you know, we are seeing this happen often because of the way that it's kind of packaged or bundled and things like that. But instead of kind of people rolling out one workload at a time or kind of thinking about and what are they going to do about rolling out all the different workloads that you get with your brand new shiny EA, a lot of times what we see is that people are actually using Yammer to manifest some of the change that is required. A lot of times also, when this is just purchased in kind of an upgrade or kind of your renewal or something like this, Yammer is not usually either a forefront, like we've got to have it. Either you have a CIO that's one side that says, yes, we need social in our checkbox for this year of 2014, please, checkbox. Or you have somebody else who says, huh, maybe this could help us kind of roll out the rest of our workloads. So the way that it's kind of bundled, I like to consider it, this is not marketing speak, I'm not marketing, but we kind of call it the car, you know, the air freshener and a new car effect, right? Like if you ever get something free when you open up a new bank account or something like this, this is kind of what it feels like when you're thinking about, you know, when you've purchased Yammer and when you've used Yammer like that. So we've got quite a few companies right now, probably in similar situations like you, who are rolling out O365, but they already have Outlook, or they already have Link, or Communicator, or SharePoint, or something like this. So they're either just migrating and kind of using the path to go to the cloud or to a different version of O365, or you have other companies who've never had some of these tools as well. So what I have proposed and what I've worked with a couple of my companies, and actually if I go way back to when I first found Yammer, we actually used Yammer as a change management tool for deploying our software. The way I found Yammer a couple of years ago was we were rolling out SAP. Oh boy. Yeah. Whew. Got out of that quick. Not quick at all. And so I was kind of tasked with how in the world can we keep all of our teams in sync? And not only just from an IT project management perspective, but this was going to be a lot of change for our users. They were used to going from a paper PO to now everything was electronic, right? And so kind of going through that process, what buttons did they have to click? Was this going to remove their job? All of this certain change. So we actually used Yammer to support that change. And we used Yammer and we kind of created spaces or created groups around roles, around different products, and around different pieces of the project change. So regardless of where our users sat, we were there and they were there supporting each other. So what companies are doing now, they're kind of using Yammer to support their O365 change because you don't need to migrate anything. Yammer is just there, yammer.com. It's kind of on there. Even when you go to upgrade or do the enterprise version, your end users actually don't see really that much change. You see more of the change from an IT back-end perspective, either with an Active Directory sync, a single sign-on, something kind of, you know, the data export stuff in the back-end. Your end users don't really see a change as well. And so I think I was talking with one of you guys over here, and you said, we've already got all these users on Yammer, and we haven't even said anything. And they've just kind of found Yammer and started to use it as well. So what the organizations are doing is they're creating groups called Link 2013. And the users are connecting and saying, hey, did you know in order to record a Link call, you have to start it from Outlook? Or did you know that this is how you can use Whiteboard on Link? And they're kind of sharing their tips. They're also asking questions in there, questions that you don't want your help desk to answer. Like, how do I do a pivot table? Right, like so that goes into the Excel pivot, or you know, the Excel user group on your Yammer network. I remember just getting so many help desk tickets about things that I was like, "Let me search that for you. Here's a video. Go learn how to do it." But it's been really interesting to kind of watch the users help themselves, as well as the different IT teams who are rolling it out, kind of manage the change and the ability to communicate as well. So people are using the groups based on the different workloads, and it's a supplement to kind of the change and the rollout process as well. How many of you could consider thinking about this or adding this to all of your other communication mechanisms when you're thinking about deploying or thinking about, I don't know, anybody? Does that sound interesting? Okay, cool. I did write a blog post about this and kind of gives you step-by-step and also kind of other customers and who's doing this and how they're doing it. So if you go to the Yammer blog, you'll be able to see that as well. So I did write that about 2 months ago because it is something that we believe is really, it's a really, really quick time to value as well. So we heard this objection, just a waste of time. My execs don't get it. Does anybody relate with this? Yes, yes. Oh boy. The obstacle here is that a couple different things. From an executive level as well as from a manager level, what we actually see is execs, once they figure out that this is a platform that they can use and connect with the frontline workers, they actually end up loving it. So that's a little known secret, but you got to help them and coach them along, kind of handhold them, get real close with their executive admins to make sure they're all squared away. But actually, what we find is the biggest obstacle is your middle managers. And the reason is, and the obstacle is the middle managers, myself included, I am squarely in the middle, our kind of role within the organization is to disseminate information from the top down. and to kind of sort some of that as well. And so it kind of breaks some of those barriers of if my exec or CVP or GM or the CEO can like one of my direct reports posts, what does that say about my role? How can I help facilitate some of that as well? So a lot of times, even if your execs are on it or thinking about using it, if you don't figure out a strategy or a plan for your middle managers, it's not going to be successful. And I say this because we know that even when you have the execs using it, if your direct manager says, I don't want you on that, you're probably going to listen to them because they're right next to you, or they're the ones that kind of control that space and what you're working on. So this, what I like to say is, as you're thinking about the different tactics for rolling out social, it definitely includes a top-down. And you're definitely going to have a bottom-up type of thing, grassroots. People are just going to naturally go, but you cannot forget about the middle out. You have to engage that middle and help them understand, as a manager, how would you interact with a social tool, like having a team group, hosting your meetings, posting those wins and lows, you know, highs and lows, things like that, that a manager could do that is a little bit different so that they don't run and then kind of run back as well. So kind of the objection, or kind of the caveat to this is really when the rubber meets the road, especially at an executive level. One of my very favorite executives, Andy Hedges, over at Westfield, based in Australia, loves Yammer. They do some incredible things at Westfield to be able to use Yammer. But kind of prior to Yammer, has anybody seen the Undercover CEO show at all? Yeah, a couple of you. Okay, cool. So, you know, the CEO literally has to go undercover in order to really see what his organization is like. I don't know about you, but sometimes that makes me really nervous. And that was something that Andy had experienced, was when he would go to visit his stores and his kind of department stores, is they would roll out the red carpet when he was coming. They would spit shine, they would make sure everybody was tucked in, ready to go, and he knew that wasn't how it always was. He knew that. And so actually, by being engaged on Yammer, he doesn't have to go under as an undercover CEO to their stores to kind of see what's happening. He's able to see what's happening because the store managers are posting, they're sharing, they're saying, hey, we've got this, I need help. Hey, this display is working really well and this isn't. How have you dealt with this, or we're going through this change, how can you help me as well? And so he's very easily able to see what's really going on at the ground level, where he was not able to see that before. So I think it's really interesting, because if you also think about, I was talking to one of my friends up here, last week Satya came to visit the Yammer office, and you better believe we had donuts, we had the whole nine yards, whatever you want, Satya, come and see our Yammer office, see how cool it is. And so it was really, really fun, but you better believe everybody was in the office and bright. It was at 8:30. I couldn't believe our engineers were up at 8:30. Like, they don't usually come in till 10 or 11. So it was I think they just probably slept the night and stayed there. So it was a really big deal. But the same way, you know, it was kind of like this, you know, had to be on our best behavior when the CEO comes in. So it allows for a little bit of transparency and a little bit of conversation with the people on the store floor. Do any of you have people that are either frontline workers, people without laptops, or kind of deskless workers? Any of you guys remote, like have this type of frontline? Yeah, this is a really, really good way and an ability to connect those frontline people with the execs that sit at corporate. I also just watched my CVP. He visited a Microsoft store, a brand new one that was celebrating their 1 year, and he had been there for the launch, and he had just gone down to visit again. He snaps a selfie, obligatory selfie, of course, and posts on Yammer kind of what he was learning, why he was there, who he was interacting with, and kind of where we still need to go with some of the areas for those Microsoft stores. So it was really, really valuable to kind of see, even though he was at the store, and I'm sure they pulled out the red carpet, he kind of came back and shared as well. I also remember, and I think I shared this yesterday, the power of a like on Yammer from an executive is huge, really, really huge. And I remember the first time our CEO and co-founder, David Sachs, liked one of my posts. I called my mom, I called my grandpa, I tweeted it, I put it on Facebook. I like could not believe that he had time to read my Yammer post. I just couldn't believe it. And at the time, I was like the third week in. And so I was a new employee. I was still trying to figure out life and what it was like. And so for me, it totally changed the way and the way that I perceived the organization. Think about this in your organization. If you have first-year people, or even if you have interns, this would be huge to have some of your senior leaders interact with some of them as well. We also do some things called Yam Jams. A lot of times, leaders love to do this. This is kind of an extension of a town hall. It's literally like as if we were all in this room to get onto Yammer at the same time, similar to what we did yesterday, and kind of yam at the same time. And what happens is, or kind of an opportunity, it's usually an opportunity for people to kind of ask or have a bit of Q&A with some of your executives. So we actually just did this with our customers, with our GM. We had him kind of join into the conversation. We said, hey, customers, if you want to talk to our boss, join this time. We'll be here at this hour. We'll be in this space. And it was awesome. And he came away. He's like, I can't believe it. I was talking to like real customers, and they were telling me what they were wanting and what they need and what they loved. And he was blown away. And he was really invigorated by the conversation. And it was only an hour. And I will tell you, it is the fastest hour of your exec's life. So those are a lot of fun as well. I've got tons of resources to kind of share with that how they're doing as well. The other kind of caveat to some of this as well is if you have people that say, oh, but it's just a waste of time, or, oh, you know, all they're ever doing is posting cat pictures, okay, caveat about the cat pictures or the cat videos. So I've got one organization on this side who celebrates that they've had no cat videos since 2012, right? So I was doing a similar presentation. I was talking about the cat videos, and like three people from PetSmart were like right here, and they were like, we would love the cat videos. And I'm like, oh, sorry, bad example, because of course, like, I know them. PetSmart's in Arizona. I see them all the time. I'm like, I forgot you were in the audience. So kind of depending on your organization, if cat videos are a thing, because you're a PetSmart or a pet food company, but most of us are not, and most of us would kind of, you know, that's not the type of conversation that we would ever want our executives to see or kind of have that conversation. So when somebody comes up to you, whether it's an exec or a manager or something like that, and say, man, Yammer's just a waste of time, I really want you to have them and challenge them to actually look at what people are posting. And then when they do and see that, tell them, do you think that they are wasting time? Look at the levels of conversations. Now, when you first start out in Yammer, the levels of conversations might be, hi, or like we had at the Microsoft Network a couple of years ago, good morning. Somebody literally posted that every day. We had to coach him and say, this is not the forum for that. This is what we want you to post. These are the types of content. And so it was really, really interesting. When we challenged some execs to actually go and look at what their Yammer networks were actually talking about, they were blown away. They couldn't believe that people were actually talking about work and getting things done faster and more efficient and really, really being able to serve their customers. So this is probably you guys saying, I am on tool overload. I've got so many tools, I don't even know what to do. We've got all these different tools, either by way of a licensing thing or by your users have just gone out and done something and said, yes, we want to use this tool over here because it was free, or yes, we heard about it at this conference, or yes, we just want to use it because I heard that so-and-so was using it. So sometimes this happens. And tools like Yammer have been built for the user at that user level. It's very viral. Like the example was, hey, we haven't even done anything and it's already 800 people big and people can invite other people to use. It's very easy to use and it's kind of at that viral level as well. And then I think that if you also think about the power of integration, one of my customers, pharmaceutical customer, about 2 weeks ago said, It's not this build it and they will come mentality that we have, like the field of dreams. It's build it in the path of their work and then they will come. So yesterday we talked a lot about use cases and kind of thinking about what are those use cases and helping your business decide what the use cases are and very specific uses for a tool like Yammer. This helps a lot from a tool perspective. So I like to show this picture because I don't know if any of you are like me and love buffets or like to go to restaurants and actually be the one to decide what I'm going to eat. Sometimes we treat our users like children when we are at a restaurant. So if any of you do have children and you go to the menu and you tell the waiter, yes, they would like the macaroni and cheese, pizza and cheeseburger. And then your child's like, yes, of course, that's what I'll eat. If you were to do that to me today, if we went out to dinner, I would have a fit because I'm an adult. I'm an educated adult. I can choose my own food for my own meal, and I'm going to choose what I want. Very, very similar into to the ways that we're thinking about tools and technology and thinking about how, you know, kind of laying out the plethora, laying out the tools, and having the users understand that they can use the tools for what they need and what they want, but you're not going to force them to use anything. Even after this session, I don't want you guys to go back and like force people to use Yammer. That's not the point. If that's what you've taken out of it, you've missed the point. So this is a very similar story that we have at the Microsoft office and the Microsoft Teams. I think Justin is from Microsoft. We have as many tools as you could possibly think of. We've got tools on this, we've got this, we've got that. We have so many tools. And I remember coming into Microsoft about two and a half years ago going, what? I can use this, and then I can use this, and then I can use this. And what was really great was our IT department said, and you can use that, and this is why we want you to use that, and here's how you can use that, and here's when you can use it, but we're not going to force you to use that. We're not going to make you use it in this certain way. And it was really, really great for us and for me to be able to choose what I needed at the time to get my work done fastest and, of course, in compliance with all the tools available for me to choose from. So this was really, really good and very similar to kind of making our people, decide what they want to use. So this is an example of something that we've created, and I think it was funny. At SharePoint conference, I was like up here talking about it, and the guy created it was like right there, and he's like, that's my slide. I was like, well, it was so good. I'm so stole it. So this is something that we've created at Microsoft to kind of say, this is, when you're thinking about evaluating, first kind of step back and say, what is it that you want to do? And then we can partner with you to kind of help find the tool for you. That we also have different flow charts, different types of technology, like surveys and things to kind of say, okay, I am a this, I want to do this, here's what I would need to do that. And kind of work it back from what are they really trying to achieve and for what. And I think that this, again, this, you know, this was a snapshot in time. These borders might look different for you, they might change. This is based on what we have available at that time. And this is probably going to continue to fluctuate and to continue to change, and maybe we'll switch the axes and maybe we'll do some other things. But it just kind of helps our users understand where and kind of where we need to connect for what and for what things. So this isn't like, this is just kind of a template, and we've got resources for you as well. But this is something that I would encourage you as you're looking at your technology landscape to really think about when and why you'd use such tools. So I love Link, and Link is great for when I know somebody on the other end has my answer to my question. But what if there's a question that I don't know who's going to have an answer? Maybe I'm a new hire, and I don't know the right person to link to get that answer. That is a great opportunity to kind of use your weaker network, or Yammer, to kind of post in a certain question or something like that as well. Yeah, I think link and instant messaging is really, really good for your strong network or that network that you know that you've interacted with before. But I think sometimes for me personally, it feels really awkward if somebody just like randomly links me that I've like never talked to. I'm like, hi, my name's Allison. What do you need? How can I help you? So this is a really, really good example as well. We want to do a pilot. Have any of you said these words before? You're like, me. So I'm really bummed that my colleague Steve's not up here. He is so passionate about the word pilot. Like, he hates the word pilot. I'm indifferent or whatnot. But what I think that is actually a better word is something else that doesn't actually include an end. Sometimes when you tell your users that they are part of a pilot, they think, okay, so I'm going to interact with something, and then you guys are going to make a decision if it was a go or no-go. And then what happens to all the content or the conversations or the things that I've already been doing? What happens to that? And so sometimes your users may or may not kind of fully commit to some of the conversations that are happening as well. And then so, you know, a couple of examples of other words, phases, adding R's in there. And then one of my customers calls it waves because, like, you can't ever, like, stop a wave. Like, a wave just keeps going. And I would say that that's probably something similar that you would want to think about as you're thinking about, you know, the different strategies for thinking about implementing a social technology. The other thing I would say, too, is even if you start with small groups of teams, and I think that that is an excellent way to go, to find those pockets of groups who kind of either raise their hand and say, yes, we're ready, yes, we need something, whether you work with internal comms or HR or learning or all these different teams who are ready to do something, still don't call it a pilot. Call it a phase, call it something like that, because, again, I think it just incluses that they're not going, you're not going to kind of pull the plug from them as well. Also, if you're limiting your pilot to only a certain set of users, or if you're limiting your pilot to only IT, please don't do that. Because your IT group is going to be the ones that get this, right? Like, they're not going to be the ones that you are going to have to, like, pull over to kind of help and use and things like that. Well, most of them. So let your IT groups just use it and go find other business partners to do the different phases with, and let your IT pilot or phase or whatever happen at the same time. Don't kind of start it off with IT and say, well, IT uses this. Everybody's going to go, well, yeah, you guys know what you're doing and you're very tech savvy, and so we would expect you to use it as well. I'm like, I have like two different screens if you can't tell, so I'm like I have my notes on the screen as well. So I think a couple of you have seen this, and I'm going to show a video versus being able to show you these slides, because I think it will help kind of understand of the concept of working like a network and this working out loud. So let me see if I can do this gracefully. This is something
today,
we released at SharePoint.
People are more
conference.
Connected than ever before, through social networks, through the cloud, through mobile devices. The world has become a giant network. And every second, people are sharing, learning, and making decisions on the go. They're all part of one hyper-connected world. These are your customers. They expect faster responses, personalized service, better experiences. As a business, you have to always be listening to your customers. Anticipate trends. Take action. And adapt quickly, no matter what comes your way, so you can always stay one step ahead. You need the latest information at your fingertips to make fully informed decisions. And as a business, you can give your customers exactly what they want, when they want it. So they walk away with experiences as unique as they are. What if you were connected to everything important? What if you and every person in your company could work together like a network? Suddenly, you're plugged into everything that matters to your business. You're social and collaborating in new ways, exchanging ideas with people across the globe. You're always listening to your employees, customers, and partners. You spot new opportunities to adapt quickly and make change happen. You share documents and information in real time and make decisions faster than ever. When you're working together as one connected network, you can grow your business. You understand your customers. You build better products. And you deliver the best experiences. This is the power of a network. Now's the time to start working like one.
It's okay, you can hold your applause. You're like, so much marketing. So I think it's really interesting that in our personal lives, we are not structured in a hierarchy unless you're the wife or the husband. That's what my coworker always says, unless you're me and who my wife makes all the calls. But I think it's really interesting that in our personal lives, we have kind of worked like a network to get things done, whether it's to find a dentist or to work or find a plumber that's going to be able to fix us. We ask our neighbors, we ask our friends for those types of recommendations. This is not very similar to the way that organizations are structured. Because of the hierarchical nature of an organization, a lot of times somebody on the front line has a question and then they have no idea what the answer is. I don't know if it's just me, but sometimes I call into a customer service phone line and I just like laugh. Most of the time, I know more than they do, and they can never help me with whatever I'm up to. They've got to transfer me 6 different ways to be able to answer my question. How many times have you kind of called somebody and said, I really need this help or something like that, and either your friend, your coworker, somebody knows exactly who to help you. It's kind of being able to work like that network and work to people's strengths of what they're up to and what they really, really know, whether it's those unwritten rules that we talked about at the beginning or the tactful and kind of that knowledge management as well. So I think the concept here is pretty interesting. It's not like let's blow away the hierarchy, because I think some of those still really, really need to happen for some things, but I think don't let that stop you from thinking about how to use and connect people in ways that they are not, they haven't been used to before. And this, I think, is a very, very big shift. This isn't just a tool from a Yammer perspective. This is a very, very different mindset shift that our organizations are going through. If you want to see, or if something like this is something that is very interesting to you and your organization, our co-founder, Adam Pisoni, has an entire talk about becoming a responsive organization and what that looks like. And one of our key big kind of pitches is a responsive organization works like a network. A responsive organization has bring your own devices or uses device, is it device ambiguity, or wherever like the user can pick which device they work on. I think I just messed up those words. It's okay. You guys didn't know that. Agnostic, device agnostic, yes. Row guy, thank you. And so it's kind of like, what do you need in order to become a more responsive org to your customers, to your partners, to the other opportunities that are there to innovate and to do those things as well? So actually, if you go to theresponsiveorg.com, you'll see tons of really incredible things of companies who are doing this, who are really thinking about it, as well as kind of recordings and kind of what we're up to in the responsive org, because that's probably a whole another 90 minutes I could talk to you about. All right. So what haven't we covered? So this is the time for audience participation, and I actually don't really have too many other slides after this. So I'd love to know, the mics are live, I'd love to know what other questions or kind of what other barriers you would see for overcoming this in your organization. Don't all jump at once. Okay, good. And just be nice. It's early. I was up really early.
Hello.
Hi.
So we deployed.
Okay, wait. Tell me your name. Tell me where you're from.
Oh, Patrick Terrell. I'm an endpoint services manager at Bose.
Okay.
We deployed Yammer, and there was an explosion of sites. And then nobody used it.
Yeah.
So how do we get past the, I have a great idea, I want to discuss it, and get people to actually do the discussion? Thank you.
Yes. So that's a great question. A lot of times that's kind of what we see is we see this like big launch and like shiny, and people have got t-shirts and they've got cupcakes and balloons and all the stuff, songs. and all this stuff, and then people come back the next Monday and go, nobody's actually using it. And so what I would really, really suggest is kind of going back to that concept of build it in the path of their workflow. You've got to get a couple of your business partners to think about either changing or adding or switching or thinking about adding or weaving social into their processes. So, for example, I was working with an organization and they are thinking about using Yammer from a pre-boarding concept. They're going to use Yammer to pre-board their employees before they sit at their desk. So this concept from yes to desk. And so there's 2 weeks usually, you know, from an employee signs an offer and says, I wanna start. And then they're transforming the way that they do onboarding. I don't know about you, but for me, onboarding was like 1,000 PowerPoint slides, and like every person, I was like, I just don't even know who you are, and are you gonna help me get my benefits? So using some of those processes that already exist, I also worked with a different customer who they're transforming their leadership development and mentoring program, and using Yammer to help with that change. We also have customers who change it for their newsletters. I was talking to somebody yesterday at the booth and they said, that's my first thing, is get Corp Comps to stop sending out the newsletters that nobody reads. And so what they're gonna do is kind of create this atmosphere of sharing stories and kind of have this group around the stories where people don't have to wait for Corp Comps to pull it all together in this beautiful newsletter that probably gets automatically sent to a different email or folder in my email inbox that I'm not reading. So use some of those. We've got tons of resources on success.yammer.com to do that. But I would say find a couple of business partners or a few, I would say at least three, and get some wins and then go showcase and celebrate those wins. One of my customers says Yammer for them is an opportunity to create opportunity to save money and to create new ideas. If they are using Yammer for anything other than those three things, it's not, like, they need to get back to those three things. Create opportunity, create new ideas, and to save money. And so that is really, really why they're using it. And so when they go to their business partners, they say, is there any way that you can do some of these things? And that's what they do. Cool, great question. This side of the room. Oh, this side. I'm not really good at this.
Hi, I'm Kevin Taylor. I did the Yammer puns in your session
yesterday. Oh, great. Yes. If you guys haven't seen them, they're hilarious. Yes, and we have a whole Yam dictionary. Our customers make up so many different words. So easy.
So we have 20,000 people around the world.
Who are you with? Can you say?
Wolters Kluwer. It's a publisher, a Dutch publisher.
Great.
And we just signed E4 this week, I guess. And so, yeah, everybody's going to go there. But we have tons of formal and informal Yammer networks around the world. Some of them are enterprise, yeah. Some of them are free, some of them are in different languages, and the idea of consolidation is kind of daunting. Any tips there?
Yeah, so network consolidation is going to be what I would suggest, even the language barrier ones, because Yammer has a tool where you can actually translate the conversation. So your users can post in their natural language and it will translate it for them and then I can read it in English. So the language shouldn't be a barrier. What you're not gonna have is you're just not gonna have the data. So if you kind of if you migrate and things like that, you'll have to decide what to do. So we went through this very similarly. Yammer had our own Yammer network and then Microsoft bought us and we were still operating in our own Yammer network. And we basically said, we're gonna do a test. You're going to join the Microsoft Yammer network and for 2 weeks and kind of see, you know, take whatever you need over. This network will still be alive and available if you need to use it, but this is where we want you to have the conversations. We fought that. We hated that. We said, oh, no, oh, my gosh, all these. And now I can't even remember the URL for the other network. Because of the information of, it's like the half-life of information, so as you keep going, the information is less and less useful, and kind of that context becomes a little bit less useful as you're going on. Every now and then we go back to that network, it's still there for us, but I would say consolidate as much as possible. And that's what a lot of the larger organizations who have different domains, that's what they've done as well. Because you want everybody kind of in the same space.
And if you had to federate, because our Dutch company built their whole intranet out on it and it's deep and they spent lots of money on it, is there any tips for the best way to federate two networks?
You're going to be able to migrate users. You're not going to be able to migrate data.
Okay.
Ask that in that network, and then I'll be able to connect you with other people who have either gone through that or have some tips about that as well. So okay. Ask in the IT Pro network. But that's a great question.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Hi, Allison. Mark Chatfield. I work for another little Dutch company called Shell.
Oh, yeah.
And so we have about, 50,000 users now. We'll ramp up to 100.
Yeah.
And so my question is, as people join, they're from different cultures, different levels of the organization as far as professionalism, what are the best practices in order to, on one side, discourage them from, saying hi or, I had a great coffee this morning, compared to encouraging them and giving them some tips and techniques on best behaviors within Yammer.
Yes, and not seeming like you're the big brother.
Don't be the police, yeah.
Yes. So a couple of things. You need either a team of people or somebody to kind of help, not manage the network, but to help be there to course correct the network when something like that is happening, as well as you need somebody who has the ability to pick up the phone and call that user. And I know that's not scalable and you can't call 50,000 people, fine, but we all have that guy in our organization, right, that you're like, yes, we do. And I was working with an organization, Tyco, and they had that guy who kept posting and was really, not whatever. So the community manager picked up the phone and just kind of explained, do you understand how you're coming off in Yammer? Like, do you understand how people are perceiving this? I really, really value what you're up to, but this is the type of conversation. And he just needed a little bit of coaching, and now he's like one of their best champions. That worked a lot better than her deleting his post and kind of or shaming him in public. Depending on how your organization is, the shaming in public may or may not work. So you can do that as well. I was also working with an organization, and they had a little bit of, I'm running this race, can you guys help support me, or I'm doing this, or I've got Girl Scout cookies, or I've got this and this and this, can you come buy that from me? And actually what happened was a bunch of the execs were like, yeah, here's money, da-da-da-da-da. And then the community manager had to step in and say, hey, look, like, we don't allow this on our other tools. The same thing goes for Yammer. Like, we don't want you to solicit for the same thing on Yammer. And so it was just a bit of education and awareness for what people are kind of working on. And I will say the more examples of wins and the exact types of conversations you want to see in front of people, the better. Because then their light bulbs go off and say, that's why I would be using Yammer and to be sharing it. And this is, like, those are the people who I say could use a bit of Facebook training, because that's probably how they use Facebook, right? Like, that's very, very probably similar to how they use Facebook. Also, your local people will be your best advocates. So those people on the ground who can help kind of build that local presence will be really, really valuable to help coach them as well. One of your execs, I feel like, was just in the Yammer office in London, and he was having a grand old time. It was good.
Heard about that. I heard you talk about it in the other meeting. I heard nothing.
Yeah. You heard nothing. Yeah. Oh, gosh. I'm going to get in trouble. All right. Question over here. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Kathy Nicholson. I'm with the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation.
Okay, great.
And we're at the other end of the scale in terms of organization size. We're only about 110
people. Great, yeah.
So many of our users travel around the world. They are already using Twitter.
Yeah.
But I think this could be a great tool for internal collaboration. We're really into openness and transparency within the organization.
Mm-hmm.
What is your experience with either making the case for Yammer within the organization for smaller organizations versus, because I'm a little bit worried that our users will say, oh, it's another tool that we need to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. So rejoice that your users are already using Twitter. Like, yeah, that user adoption is going to be great. But the fact of the matter is Twitter is great. I'm a Twitteraholic. I love Twitter. But I use Twitter for very specific things, and I can't have long and in-depth conversations on Twitter. I also can't really edit PowerPoints or create content or work on copy that I need to send to customers. So I would really focus on what are those use cases. Because them posting pictures while they're traveling, Twitter might be okay for them to use that. And that might be the thing to use that. But that's gonna be hard for you guys to track and to like celebrate when they're using their Twitter stuff. Also, because Twitter is kind of a personal thing, they might feel a little bit big brother if you're kind of watching their tweets and things like that as well. We also do have a Twitter integration, so they could pull it into Yammer too. So if you do hashtag Yam and it's kind of set up in their profile, they could do that as well. It does clutter up the all company feed, but you can do that. The kind of the big use cases for the smaller organizations that I really see is the onboarding. Mm-hmm. Onboarding is something that from either a smaller organization, either you've been the same 100 people for 100 years, or you have people in and out the door, or you've grown from 30 people to 100 people in the past 6 months. And there's just either no process, too much process, there's new processes, and just things like that, just from an onboarding perspective to help shape the culture, that is a really, really good use case. And then do your people all sit in the same office, or are they everywhere?
They're all in the same office, but they travel a lot.
Yeah, so I would say it's if they're traveling on site or to customers or things like that, even just like recaps of their day and like what they've learned and things like that, that could be really good versus like a 140-character tweet. A little bit more depth to some of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you.
Absolutely, great question.
Good morning, my name is Phil, I'm from the University of Scranton. Yes, I do have some Dunder Mifflin paper and some Shroot Farms beets in my bag if anybody wants any.
Yes.
Office joke for any of you who don't watch The Office. The American version, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So I actually have a couple questions.
Yeah.
The first one is, just in universities in general, how mm-hmm. do you see Yammer being used amongst faculty and staff primarily?
Yes. So actually, Penn State uses Yammer pretty heavily.
Really? I know several people there. I'm going to have to touch base
with
them. Okay.
Yes, use them, and you can search it online. They're pretty public about their use as well. Also, Pepperdine University uses Yammer, and I've actually seen, it's a dentist school in, I think, one of the Carolinas. They use it for their classrooms and kind of to build it from a cohort perspective, and they use it to build case studies and things like that. But I think in a sense of the higher ed, you're going to have these very similar challenges, but they're going to be named differently,
yeah.
or you're going to find this differently. I think that knowledge hoarder one mm-hmm. is probably a really big one
Absolutely.
For you guys, because you've got professors who have all this knowledge and the ones that have been doing it for so long who don't want to share, don't want to connect, and things like that. So it's it definitely is going to be an uphill battle, but I think it's definitely needed because the breakdown of communication, even from like a consumer side as I walk through a university and can never find the right person to help me get my stuff in order. When I was going through my master's, I was like, oh my gosh, why don't you know? Who knows this answer? I think that that's really, really valuable. So I've seen organizations, especially in higher ed, use it either in a faculty and staff perspective, and then they kind of wait for the students, or they just use it from a student's perspective. A lot of times they don't really focus on the students right off the bat, and not to say that they couldn't, but in the fact that the students already talk and do all the things on Facebook and stuff anyways, and it's not for the students to connect with each other. They've got other social tools that they do that. It's for the students to connect with the teachers.
Yep.
So kind of focusing on that way. I remember I was using a tool that rhymes with MacBoard, I don't know, in my master's degree program, and like the discussion board, oh my gosh, it was archaic. It felt like I was using a bulletin board. You know, I am a likeaholic. If you were in my class yesterday, I am a self-proclaimed, I couldn't like a message. You mean I had to go in and reply, I agree with this, and that counted towards my grade? I couldn't believe that this was, it just felt very, very archaic based on some of the things that I was working on as well. There's also a lot of co-authoring and stuff that your students could use and do.
And
you had more questions, oh boy.
Yeah, the second question was, so I know across our university we have some people using it personally. We've got people who are in other organizations that use it. Maybe they're, like community organizations, some are, you know, they're adjunct faculty, so they're at other universities and things.
Cool.
Is there any way to, I guess, kind of tie the accounts together so it's easier for them? So, like, you know, they do one login and it's like, oh, well, I'm over at Penn State and I'm also at Scranton and I'm at the, you know, this community organization.
No, we, no.
Okay. I didn't think so,
Same way as if you had, if you were part of a Yammer network, like if you signed up with this Yammer, the IT Pro network with your Hotmail or Live account, and then you had your personal one, you would either have to do a different browser or like a private browser setting. Yeah,
cool.
It's
all right. Yeah, I just want to make sure I wasn't missing something. All right, thank you.
Yep, great. All right, everyone. Thank you. So, did you have one more question? Yeah, let's do it. One more question.
Hi, my name is Yvette Hernandez, and I'm with the University of Miami. I wanted to...
Miami, Florida?
Yes.
Cool.
The U.
Great.
Hurricanes.
Yay, great.
I wanted to add, we have our Cato, our chief, chief technology officer that's been with us for a year, and he came on board already using
Yammer.
Great. So he's been the one that's been blasting and, you know, wants to get us on board. Is there any, I know you mentioned there's a site for kind of buzzwords or anything, but kind of like a reference guide where we'd be able to, like, okay, your do's and don'ts as we present it. That way we set the policy.
Yep.
And
success.yammer.com. If you go there, literally, we have templates, we have guides, we have everything. We have communication templates, we have a project plan. We've got everything that you could use, because literally with types of technologies like SaaS, where you can't really customize it, the customization kind of comes based on your use cases and things like that. So success.yammer.com, go there. There's kind of a, there's an admin side, and then there's an everything else side. The admin side is going to be kind of your back end, your integrations and things like that. Yes. Feel free. We have we have checklists, we have user guides, we have videos that you can download, upload, whatever you want. Seriously, take it. It's our gift to you. And yeah, and I remember I was working on one of the user guides, and we worked on it a couple of years ago, but we laughed because we fought about whether or not to include screenshots. We literally fought about it, and I'm so glad I won that fight because I'm still here. No, because the product changes so often. Don't go reinvent the wheel with some of this stuff. Let us take on that burden for you and kind of keep it up to date because we know what's coming. So that like user guide kind of getting started piece doesn't even have any screenshots. It has more of like concepts and kind of your 10, get started, things like that. Because if we, it, like literally the second you would print it out, it would be out of date in a second. So cool. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. I am so glad you're here. Have a great rest of the day. Bye, guys.